morning I intend to focus my thoughts on 2 Kings chapter 18 and the verse 3. The passage says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." This passage that our brother Stephen read from 2 Kings 18, it records for us the account of the commencement of the reign of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah, and his name means "the Lord strengthens." He reigned during the times of various prophets, including Isaiah, who mentions him in his prophecy, and in total he reigned for 29 years in the city of Jerusalem. Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz, and his father Ahaz was a wicked man. He was a terrible man, but yet Hezekiah was the opposite. If you look over, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 16, and I think it's, if I can find the reference, if I misplace it, 2 Kings chapter 16 and the verse 2, it says at the end of that verse, speaking of Ahaz, "and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God," like David his father. Ahaz was the opposite of Hezekiah. He was a wicked man, but Hezekiah, he did that which was right. As our text says, he was a man that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And this does not mean that Hezekiah was a perfect king. He was far from it. The scriptures contain some records of some of the mistakes that he made. We could think, for example, of the time he showed the Babylonians around and those consequences that he faced for that. He was just human like the rest of us. But I'm sure that most of us this morning, if not all of us, we know that the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is also mentioned in the New Testament over in Matthew chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. For the sake of time, we'll not turn to it, but he is referred to as Ezekias, which is the Greek form of the name Hezekiah. And he was part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ on the side of Christ's earthly father, Joseph. But in the scriptures, the words of our text this morning, it's only given to 9 kings. Hezekiah, he was part of a very small group of people. When we consider the amount of kings that Israel and Judah had, it's very significant, but it is much better to be in the minority that fears God and seeks to live in obedience to his commands than with the majority that desire to live in union with the world. But this morning, I would like us to consider just three lessons that we can learn from the life of Hezekiah, a man who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The first thing I would like us to consider is that Hezekiah was a man of faith. He was a saved man and he worshipped the Lord. Verse 5 tells us that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He stood above the others who had reigned over Judah since the kingdom had been separated. As we know that Israel and Judah used to be the one kingdom, and then after Solomon had passed away, the kingdom was separated. He was not an average run-of-the-mill king, but rather he was an exceptional man of faith. He was a significant king. And the people of Israel and Judah, they had gained a reputation for departing from the worship of the one true God. We read through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, through those two books, and through 1 and 2 Chronicles, we see the records of how some kings followed the Lord, but many kings, they turned after idols. We can think of examples such as in the days of Elijah when King Ahab brought in Baal worship with his wife Jezebel, or King Jeroboam whenever he erected the golden calves. But Hezekiah's father, as we mentioned previously, he was not a godly man. He was a wicked man. He was a sinful man. And he worshipped the gods of the heathen. He rejected the true God. But yet Hezekiah, he did not follow in his wicked worldly ways. He did not follow in the ways of his father or in the ways of the neighboring heathen nations. He worshipped the one true God and he remained faithful to the one true God that had served him, or that he served, rather. Often children, they will follow the example that their fathers set. And it's an important thing even for those who are parents that they set a godly example for their children. Because when we look through even through history, we can see even through the book of Kings, how there was many sons who followed their fathers. But yet Hezekiah was different. He did not follow the wicked ways of his father. He followed the example of David. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David did. This took courage. We can imagine how difficult it must have been whenever Hezekiah was, say, growing up and he was trying to serve the Lord, but yet the entire nation was worshipping idols. They had departed from the Lord. They weren't serving him. They didn't want anything to do with God. But even though he went against what was public opinion, he remained faithful to the Lord. And we need faith like Hezekiah. We need to be willing to remain faithful to God. We need to be willing to stand for God in the time of opposition. Many people today, they have no time for the gospel. They've no time for God. They'll mock the church. They'll mock Christians. They'll try and persecute us. Many countries, we are persecuted. Believers are imprisoned and maybe they face death. But yet, we must stand and remain faithful until the end. God will reward us. There's a well-known verse there in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it's the verse number 30. And the last part of the verse, it says, "Be afar from me, for them that honour me, I will honour. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." God will honour those who honour him. And we must remain faithful unto him all the days of our life. Verse 6 tells us that Hezekiah clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. Hezekiah, he hung on to the Lord. The word clave, it gives us the idea that he held fast or he clung on. He would not let go. But are we really holding fast to the Lord this morning? I trust that this morning that you will be holding fast unto the Lord, that you'll be clinging to him and that you will be following him. There's many in that day and many even today, they start out well. They start out well, say, maybe as they're going up, they follow the things of God. But as they get older, maybe they go to secondary school or end up at university and they start to drift away. And it's so sad to see it. And by the time it comes to the end of life, they've compromised and they've missed out on the blessings of God. They've departed from what God is teaching us. But Hezekiah was not like this. He was a man who, it says, departed not from following him. Yes, he made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. There is none perfect apart from Christ. But yet he didn't depart from following the Lord. I trust this morning that we would be the same and that we would continue to stand for the Lord, and that we would not depart and that we would not wander off and miss out on the blessings of the Lord. But this morning, maybe you have not placed your faith in God. You're not trusting in him for all eternity. You may not serve the idols of the heathen nations. You may not bow down to golden statues. As I know, I remember speaking at a youth meeting not that long ago, and I asked any of them, would they ever consider bowing down to a golden statue? And they had a good laugh about it. But we may not do that. To us, that would sound stupid. But yet, there's other things that can be idols. There's other things in life. Maybe we put our employment before everything else. We can put our family before God. We can put maybe money, finances before God. But God, we must put God in the forefront of our lives. He must be our focal point. He must be at the center of everything that we do. Maybe this morning you're pretending, you're playing at having faith in God. Maybe other people think you're saved and you'd be ashamed for people to find out that you haven't been saved at all. This morning, if this is you, would you not place your faith in Christ? Would you not place your faith in the God of Hezekiah? We can read the scriptures. We see the power of God manifested throughout the scripture. The many mighty deeds that he does. And he still does mighty deeds today. I trust this morning that you would have faith like Hezekiah. But then secondly, let us look at Hezekiah, a man of prayer. Hezekiah was a spiritual man. He spent much time with the Lord in prayer. But there's two main instances of this which I wish to just look at this morning. Firstly, there was the siege. And in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. The Assyrian army eventually came and camped at the gate of Jerusalem. This was the same nation that had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And humanly speaking, the situation was dire. This army, it was far stronger than anything that Judah could field. When we look at it from the human aspect, we could say that Judah was finished. It was only a matter of time until the city of Jerusalem would be conquered by the Assyrian army, surrounded by these enemy forces of evil. But what did Hezekiah do? If we look at 2 Kings chapter 19, if we look at the verse 14, it says, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers. They were the Assyrian messengers. And he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Verse 15 says, And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. He came to the Lord in prayer. And then if we move over to verse 19, it says, Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. He came to the Lord in prayer. He and the nation that he ruled, they had a great need. They knew what the need was. They knew they had no hope in their own strength. So they went to the only person who could help them. They went to the Lord. He prayed for a deliverance from these enemies. Verse 35, it tells us, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. The Lord overthrew the enemy army. We read on down the verses, we read that King Sennacherib, he was also killed by his own sons. The Lord overthrew that enemy army. But then, secondly, in this point, we have his sickness. 2 Kings 20 contains a record of his sickness. If we read verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Here's Hezekiah. He's just been told, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Your time on earth is up. Make ready your preparations. But yet, what did he do? He went to the Lord. There's nobody on earth could have helped him. But he went to the one person who could help him, and that was the Lord. 2 Kings 20 verse 2 says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. The Lord answered Hezekiah's prayer. Verse 6, it says, at the start of it, it says, and I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. The Lord answered his prayer. If we have a problem in life, do we go to the Lord with it? We should take our problems to the Lord. The first person that the king went to was the Lord. He turned to him. This is a lesson for us in our times of troubles and anxieties. Do we look to ourselves? Do we look to others? But do we look to the Lord? It's the Lord who we must turn to. I'm sure we've all spent time in various circumstances worrying and contemplating, what will we do? But we should be going to the Lord and casting our cares and our burdens upon him. Prayer has often been neglected by the Lord's people. But here we can see the priority that Hezekiah gave it. He turned to the Lord first of all, and the Lord answered his prayer. Today, perhaps, maybe you've been neglecting the place of private prayer. It's a very important thing. I remember one of the verses of an old chorus, and I'm sure that some of us, maybe if we are help out in children's meetings, we still sing it. One of the lines, it says, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. This does not save you, but if you want to be blessed, you want to grow spiritually, it's an essential ingredient. You'll be blessed. We are commanded to pray without ceasing, and we are to continue in prayer. The New Testament tells us that. Even to this present day, we must spend time with the Lord in prayer. These two trials of Hezekiah that we mentioned, they also actually happened in the same year. As we said at the commencement of the message, that Hezekiah, he reigned for 29 years. And then by comparing scripture with scripture and doing a little math, we realize that these two events, they happened within a short space of each other. The invasion of Judah took place in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign. But then when we think that Hezekiah reigned for 29 years, he was given 15 extra years, so we subtract 29 from 15, we're left with 14. So in this same year, he faced sickness and death, two mighty trials. But yet, the Lord brought him through. What a year of trial it must have been. To face death by sickness, and then to have had the enemy at the gates, wanting to destroy your city and to destroy your people. But the Lord brought him through. Maybe this morning you faced great trials in the last year. Maybe you're going through a great trial now. Maybe no one knows what you're going through. Maybe it's financial worries. Maybe you've got a problem with a friend. Maybe there's family issues. Maybe there's issues in your employment. Maybe there's a possibility of you losing your job. But maybe it's something you can't feel that you can talk to anyone else about. Some of us have been there. I know I've been there in a situation like that. But the point I want to emphasize is that no matter what the situation is, you can talk to God about it. And he will help you. He will help you through it. Spend time with the Lord. Do not neglect him or neglect his word. Hezekiah was a man of prayer. And I trust that we would be a people of prayer. Not just public prayer, that is very important, but a people of private prayer. We must be praying in the closet. And this morning, thirdly and finally, can we just consider Hezekiah, a man of obedience. Hezekiah, we're told of Hezekiah in verse 6 that he kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. As he kept the Lord's commandments, he obeyed the Lord. He was a reformer. We see, we can consider this maybe in two sub-points. There was worship. Hezekiah was a reformer. Verse 4, it deals with the reforms that he carried out. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. The nation had begun to worship this serpent. It had become a relic. It had become almost just a false god. They were worshipping it. But yet he destroyed it. The nation needed cleansed of its false worship. For many today, they do not approve of negativity in the church. But yet, sometimes there's a time when that negativity has to come and be used. Because there's things that need to be cleaned out. We need to clean out the religious rubble. The rubble that's not of God. I remember hearing a sermon preached, if we could call it a sermon, a number of years ago in a certain church. I heard it online. And the sermon, it wasn't based on the Bible. It was based on a film. And that is what some churches in our day and age, they're preaching on films. But should they not be preaching the Word of God? Should it not be a Christ-centered ministry? I remember talking to somebody about that particular sermon, and they defended it. And they said, well, there was some good moral advice in it. This, bear in mind, it was a worldly film. It wasn't even a Christian film. It was a worldly one. But the thing is, we get our morals from the Word of God, not from a worldly film. There's many, they want to have a positive, happy experience in church. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to leave church, you know, feeling challenged. They want to leave church feeling happy and good about themselves, feeling that they are good people. But that's not what we are to do. We are to preach the Word of God. Sometimes Christians, we are in need of a rebuke. There's times I've been sitting in a meeting and yes, I have been rebuked over something which has been in my life. Evil abounds all around us in this day and age and we must rebuke it. There's many temptations for our young people. I know as a young person growing up, I know many young people who they have succumbed to those temptations and one sin leads to another, and before you know it, they're just caught in a web. It's like a fly caught in the spider's web. Once they're in it, they can't get out of it by themselves. But Hezekiah, he didn't try to compromise with the false religions in his day. He cleared out that religious rubble that his father and the kings before him had brought into the temple and brought into the Jewish religion. There's so many things that Hezekiah had to do. They're recorded throughout even the book of 2 Chronicles. There's a couple of chapters that cover it. We'll not turn to them for the sake of time. But there was so much that he had to do. But yeah, he was a great reformer. He reformed the worship of God. But then there was also service. 2 Chronicles 31, we'll not look it up for the sake of time. But we read of how Hezekiah, he organized the priests. And he organized them according to the structure and the commands that God had given. He was obeying God's commands. And by this he showed his obedience to the will of God. And also the priest's obedience. It's something that we must learn. There's many today and they'll say, I will serve God in whatever way I want. And whilst they may do that, they're being disobedient. Not to man. They're not disobeying man, but they're disobeying the commands of God. The Lord, these people, they may be blessed in the short term. But in the long term, there will be consequences. A biblical example can be drawn from Numbers chapter 20. And it was the time that God had commanded Moses to speak to the rock in order for water to come out. Moses was to come and speak and the water was to come out of the rock. But Moses, in his anger, he struck the rock. The water still came out. The people were blessed by it. There was a blessing. But yet, he had to face consequences for his disobedience. Because of that incident, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. This was the leader of the children of Israel who brought them through the wilderness. But because of this disobedience, whilst the people were blessed, he couldn't enter into the promised land. The end does not justify the means. This morning, we must be very careful who we choose to follow. We must be careful who we choose to work with and careful who we choose to serve with. We must weigh every single person who we serve with up by the word of God. Do they serve in obedience to God's principles? And as well, we must examine ourselves. Do we serve in obedience to the principles that God has set forth in his word? Do we, really? Something that we must examine ourselves and our own consciences. Weigh ourselves up by the word of God and see, do we actually obey the Lord? We must also instruct our children. I was at a meeting last night and someone referred to Psalm 78. And they mentioned, it was Psalm 78 and the verse 6, which is, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And going into verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We must desire to teach our children and our young people the things of God. Teach them the commandments so that they would be obeying God, that they can pass it on to the next generation. We have a duty to pass the word of God on, to pass these commands on. But as we come to a close, if we just look there at Psalm 1, that psalm that we sung this morning, on the second verse of that psalm, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hezekiah was a king who obeyed the Lord. He wanted to obey him, obey his commands. And I think when we look at this psalm, we could say that Hezekiah's delight was in the law of the Lord, and that he would meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. He did not walk, yes, he made mistakes, but he desired not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He wanted to walk in the way of the Lord. This morning, we've considered Hezekiah and how that he was a man of faith, that he was saved and he followed the Lord. We've considered his prayer life, that he was a man who prayed. And we've considered his obedience, that he obeyed the laws of God. But as we bring this meeting to a close, we've just a few more minutes left. Have you got faith in Christ? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend that time in the private place, speaking to the Lord and meditating upon his word? Do you have a desire to obey his commands, the commands that he has given to us in his precious, holy and infallible word? I trust this morning that you have all three of these, that you have the faith of Hezekiah, that you'll have the prayer life of Hezekiah, that you will be obedient like Hezekiah. I trust that whenever our time on earth is ended, that each one of us will have the same summary that Hezekiah has for his life in verse 3, which was our text. I trust that whenever comes our time to pass away from this earth, that it could be said of us, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I trust that the Lord will bless this word to our hearts this morning.